This podcast is part of the Self-Defense Radio Network.
This is Sean from the Gunblog Variety Cast. Unlike Bob, I was in the military, but that was a long time ago. Now what I need is a practical podcast from a practical guy. That's why I listen to Bob Main's Handgun World podcast on the Self-Defense Radio Network.
Hi folks, Bob Main here with another episode of the Handgun World Podcast. I carry a gun because I can't carry a cop. This is episode 409. I'm going to answer some voicemails. It might be a relatively short episode. I got a bunch of family coming in this week, so I'm recording this really early in the week, even though it's not going to release until Sunday. Which my shows always normally release Sunday morning, about 9 o'clock in the morning or so. But anyway, I got some good voicemails, and I really appreciate folks sending in voicemails and emails. I got some emails I'm going to cover in this episode as well. So let's just dedicate this episode to you, the listener. How does that sound? And let's go ahead and get into the first one.
Hey, Bob, this is Fred from Vermont. I was just listening to episode 405, where you talked about red dot sights, and just wanted to let you know I love the show and I love the information you gave out, and I had some things to add to it. First off, you mentioned a couple different manufacturers, and one of the ones you didn't mention was the Sig Sauer P320RX, which is a striker fire 9mm gun. It's the one the Army is just, well, not the RX. The Army, they just got the Army contract to build the 320. It's a very convertible gun, very modular. But the P320 RX comes with the Romeo 1 red dot sight as part of the gun. And the whole package for the gun at the Sig Sauer Academy after you take a class was actually around 700 bucks for the 9mm full-size gun with the RX attached. I was lucky enough to get one of these back in August for my birthday, actually, and I've got almost 1,000 rounds through it. It is a fantastic gun. The RX sight just is phenomenal. As all the points you mentioned, one of the things that I've found is that it lets me shoot with both eyes open and focus on the target. So I just focus on the target, bring the gun up into my shooting space, and there's the red dot. And as soon as the red dot touches the sight, touches the target, I just try and carefully pull the trigger. It's made me a much, much better shooter. As far as I'm concerned, it's a very stable, tough sight. The Sig Sauer actually guarantees them for life. It's small, it's light, so I just kind of wanted to let you know that. Sorry I didn't get to listen to this episode sooner. I only get to listen to them, I record them and then listen to them when I can, and I was on a couple of business trips, so I know this is, almost a month old, but, I just thought you'd like to know. Again, love your show, and, hopefully you find this information interesting. Hey, Bob, this is Fred from Vermont again. I just had a few other things to add. I'm not sure if you want to play this as well as the other. But part of the reason I bought that P320 was because I took a class at the Sig Sauer Academy, and they let you use their guns when you take the class if you'd like. You can use your own or use theirs. And I used the 320 full-size without the RX, and it was a long-distance pistol shooting class. Again, I love the class. The instructor did have us back up and back up and back up, and we did make hits on a 100-yard target. That was just with the regular sights. The 320 RX, actually, one of the things about that RX is that it comes from the factory with the RX installed, and the sights co-witnessed with the regular iron sights. The iron sights that it has on it are the silencer height sights. So really kind of a good package. And I just felt that it fit my hand so well, that was why I really wanted it. The other thing I did, and this was my thinking back when I bought it, or when I got it for my birthday, I actually had to go in and buy it myself. My wife couldn't buy it for me. The other thing that I did was I bought the 320 RX full size, and then I got a conversion kit for the carry version of the pistol. Now, with the conversion kit comes a new slide, a new barrel, another magazine. My thinking was that I would use the red dot sight for competitions. Every other weekend I do a steel plate drop competition. But then I would carry the carry version, which is a little shorter in the barrel length, and it wouldn't have the red dot on it. But I'm actually going back and forth between carrying the carry version and the red dot, just because the red dot is so accurate. And one of the things about that particular red dot is it has a motion sensor. So you can actually put it in the holster on, leaving the red dot on, and it will shut off automatically when it doesn't sense any significant amount of motion. And they tell me that, you know, walking with your holster won't turn it on. But then as soon as you pull it out of the holster, and every time I've gotten it out of the holster, by the time I get it up into my sight, the red dot is on. So, you know, it's a pretty neat setup. The one thing I do worry about, and maybe you have some information on this, is, you know, because I am carrying the appendix style, there is dust and things like that that end up getting onto the back of the red dot. It hasn't been a problem so far, but it is something I worry about when I do carry it. So, again.
Hi, Fred. Thanks again for calling in. You've called in before, and you called in a couple of really cool voicemails here. As you saw that Fred called in twice, and so I just put them both together in one long voicemail. Hey, Fred, the P320 RX, I don't have any experience with it, but boy, it sure looks like a pretty neat setup. And, you know, you bought one, you've got some experience with it, so thanks for that. To answer the question you asked near the end of your voicemail, one thing I learned in the red dot class that I took about a couple of weeks ago, that John Payne from Suarez International taught, is you can just buy an optometrist, or you can just go to any place that makes and sells eyeglasses, and you can purchase eyeglass cleaner solution and a special cloth, the cloth that is used that they recommend for cleaning eyeglasses. That's all you need. And just use the eyeglass cleaning solution and the cloth that's meant for that, and you can clean up your red dot on your SIG with that. Just, you know, make sure you put a decent amount of solution on there and clean it up. Basically, anything that's safe for lenses, safe for camera lenses or eyeglasses, will also be safe for cleaning the screen on your red dot. Hey, I got a question for you, Fred, and that is one of the criticisms I've heard about the SIG RX, the Romeo red dot on top of that, is that those buttons on the side of the red dot, it looks like the buttons for adjusting the intensity up and down, that those, when you put the gun in the holster, that those buttons stick out quite a ways, and that they could get activated by putting the gun in the holster. Have you had that issue? That's what I have kind of heard, but maybe you could call back in and kind of put that to rest, or say yes or no, or let us know on that. And that would be kind of cool. But that sure looks like a nice setup. For those of you that like the SIG P320, I like the SIG P320. I have shot one, and I like it. One thing I like about what SIG is doing with that pistol and that red dot is they have, it looks like based on the picture, that they have indeed milled the red dot into the slide. And that's important. Sometimes you see a red dot sight just mounted on top of the slide, and that you got to be careful with that. Sometimes you see, as I mentioned in the last episode, you see red dot pistols and you with the co-witnessed sights, and you see the rear sight in front of the red dot. That's not good either. It's got to be, the rear sight needs to stay where the rear sight is. and the red dot put in front of that. And that's a proper co-witness. And it comes, Fred said, the P320 comes with suppressor height sights. You have to have those because you got to have them high enough to be able to co-witness properly with that red dot. So good voicemail, Fred. Thanks for calling that in. I'm just wondering about when you put that gun in the holster. Which holster are you using for that again? I don't know. Can't remember if you said that in the voicemail, but you said you're carrying it appendix. Which holster? And are you having that issue with that that SIG red dot when you put the gun in the holster? And Fred, one more thing I want to say about what your voicemail said. I'm glad you took a class. I'm glad you took the red dot class at the Sig Sauer Academy. This is very important. If you want to switch to a red dot pistol, and I am very close to announcing that I'm going to go ahead and switch to my red dot sight Glock 19 as my primary carry gun. I'm not going to officially announce it yet because I haven't completely given it a 1,000-round trigger job, and I haven't run a couple hundred rounds of carry ammo through it just to make sure that it's going to work well for me with my carry ammo. But once I get to that point, yeah, the advantages of a red dot are so great that I'm going to switch to that as my primary carry pistol. But you got to take a class. Highly recommend you got to take a class to learn how to use them properly. It's going to be difficult, not impossible, but it's going to be difficult to teach yourself how to properly use a red dot sighted pistol. But Fred, I think you have figured out all the cool advantages of a red dot. It really is nice. And rather than buying another pistol, set your gun up with a red dot sight. I think you will be happy. And Fred, thanks again. I appreciate you calling in. Good stuff. Very informative voicemail. Let's go to the next one.
Hey, Bob. Herschel from Ohio. Well, first of all, I love the show. The only problem, I wish you had two a week instead of one. Anyway, I just bought a Carr CM9 because I wanted a gun that would do two purposes. I wanted to be able to put it on the hip when my dress allowed that, and then also wanted one that would allow me to put it in the pocket. I had a Ruger LCP Custom, but I just didn't like it. It was a little too small. It stung the daylights out of my finger when I would shoot. So I ended up settling on the Carr CM9. My question about it is, I went ahead and got the stock model with just the standard sights because I just could not decide if I wanted the night sight or if I wanted the HD high vis front sight. So I'm kind of curious what your thoughts are on the two. Now, I know, of course, it's personal preference, but the night sight really doesn't do anything for you in the daytime. It does, obviously, at night. And the other one is, of course, the other way around. Daytime, it's great. Nighttime, kind of probably looks just like the stock, and it's a black piece of plastic out there. You can't really see it. I kind of wonder what your thoughts are because I haven't decided yet if I want the night or the high-vis for the daytime. I'm 50 years old, so the aging eyes is, of course, a factor. I mean, I can see fine, but they are aging eyes. So that's why I'm having a hard time deciding which one I want to do or just leave it alone and stock the way it is. Thank you, Bob. Appreciate the show and listen every week. Have a good day. Goodbye.
Hi, Herschel. Thanks for calling in again. By the way, I wanted to say to Fred, I forgot to mention it in the last response, congratulations on your purchase. What a cool birthday present. That was great. And Herschel, congratulations on your purchase of the CM9, the Carr CM9. Nice little gun. I'm a big fan of Carr pistols, especially the 9mm, the CM9 and PM9 and the P380 and CW380. Good guns. Herschel, have you checked into the TrueGlow TFOs? I'm looking at the Optics Planet website right now. You can get TrueGlow TFOs for car pistols. And those are bright sights day or night. So that might be something for you to consider. Those are bright. They look like fiber optic green sights, which, I don't know, for me, you asked my opinion. For me, green fiber optic works better than red fiber optic. That's just from my eyes. Green fiber optic seems to work for a lot of people and green dots and things. So have you checked into it? Go to theopticsplanet.com and search for True Glow TFO for car arms pistols. I'm looking at it right now. Looks like they're about $80, which isn't too bad for real good sights. I've used True Glow TFOs in the past for Glocks, and I really like them. And you know, they've been out a long time, and they had a few issues at first, but I think they're very durable now, and a lot of people like to use them. So check that out. That might be another solution. The night sights that Carr sells, they're okay. The Meprolite versions are not bad. I've used those. They're okay. I do think that there is a benefit in having night sights. And you know when I learned that? I learned that when I first took a night class, a night shooting class. Actually, I learned it when I first shot a nighttime IDPA match when I was living up in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. I used to shoot a couple of nighttime indoors, all the lights shut off. So in the dark, shooting a competition match. Night sight, you'll learn that night sights really help. And then also, if you take a night shooting class, now they're not the end-all be-all. A lot of people think, oh, I got my night sights, I'm good. I don't care what the lighting is like, I'm good. No, you're not good. You have to learn how to use a flashlight as well. You got to practice doing that. Few people ever practice shooting at night. It's hard because it's hard to find ranges that will let you shoot at night. The cool thing is if you can take a training class, if you can take a night shooting training class, you know, well, that solves the problem because the instructor has set up the range in advance and you can get out there and shoot at night. You got to do that. We know that a lot of defensive gun uses happen in either low light or at nighttime. So practice that. And have you ever practiced using your weapon-mounted light or your handheld flashlight? Have you ever practiced using that and shooting your gun at the same time? That's an interesting skill. That's a skill that you need to think about. Okay? Herschel, thanks for calling in. That's just my humble suggestion for you. All right, I have a couple of emails I want to talk about. First, I would like to say that many thanks to a lot of you lately who have been putting up iTunes reviews or review on whatever program you use to listen to this podcast. If you've never done that for my show, I would love it, especially if you use iTunes. Go to iTunes and review this show. It really helps when people are searching out podcasts. Ben and I just put a new video on the Shooters Club. So all you Shooters Club members, go to shootersclubmembers.com, go to the video section, check out the new video. I did it, and it's on Red Dot Pistols, and it's on maintenance and things like that. I think you're going to like it. We temporarily fixed the password issues, and we're working on a cool system now where you can set up your own password and your own login and everything on the Shooters Club, and it'll be a lot more convenient for you. But check that out. And if you're not a member of the Shooters Club, you can support this show and the Modern Self-Protection Podcast for only $8 a month or $75 a year and watch some pretty cool videos. Videos don't take the place of training, but you know what they do? Videos really do give you the ability to learn what to dry fire practice, reinforce some of what you already learned. And, you know, they say repetition is the mother of learning. So if you go to a training class and you learn something, and then you watch our videos and you watch us teach a very similar thing, you keep watching that over and over and over again, repetition is the mother of learning. Repetition is the mother of learning. You get the point, right? The more you hear something, the more you do something, the more you practice something. That's how learning takes place. A couple of years back, I talked about the five steps of the learning process, and I'll probably talk about that in next week's episode. I learned some things when I was a young man about training and teaching people, and I was doing a lot of public speaking when I was in my 20s and 30s, and I learned a lot about the learning process, the human learning process. So we would appreciate if you could join the Shooters Club, and then don't forget my Amazon store. You can support the Handgun World podcast without spending any extra money. Whenever you buy something on Amazon, just go to my Amazon store, and you'll find that at handgunworld.com. Okay, that's pretty much what I wanted to say. Don't forget about the classes that we have coming up as well. Dallas, Utah, Illinois, Wisconsin, Ohio, Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Ben and I are teaching a couple of two-day Beyond Concealed Carry classes. Go to handgunworld.com. You'll see how to sign up for all of those. Okay, here's an email from Tony in New Hampshire. Please forgive me, folks. I can't remember if I covered this last week. I think I did. But I may have some more things to say about it. Tony in New Hampshire sent me an email saying that he's on the road as a salesperson. Oh, yeah, I did cover that. I remember that. And he's looking for a new handgun for deep concealment. You know, another one I'm going to talk about? I'm going to talk about a snub-nose revolver. Right now, as we speak, I'm pocket carrying. And I'm pocket carrying a Smith & Wesson 642 Performance Center. Really like this little gun. I did two business appointments yesterday with my 642 Performance Center in my pocket. And it works out great. So you might want to think about that as well, Tony. Okay, next email I want to talk about comes from Dave. Dave says, "Hey, Bob, I just wanted to let you know that I appreciate you sharing your faith on the podcast. Hearing you encourage gun safety and tithing in the same episode was awesome." Thank you, Dave. Now, let me say something, folks. If you don't share the same faith as I do, that's okay. All right? I'm always interested in spreading my faith. But if you don't, I mean, please don't turn off my podcast because I mention my faith once in a while. I mean, this is America. We do have religious freedom. And I respect the fact that people have religious freedom. We have First Amendment rights and things like that. It's what I believe in. It's what I believe in. And I'm going to share it because it's me and you should know about me. Okay? So there you go. So Dave says, "I heard you talk about..." He says, "I'm fairly new to the handgun sports, and I've been listening to your show for a few years, and I was wondering if you've ever addressed the subject of targets. I've been to the indoor range and seen everything from silhouettes to paper targets with stick-on dots. I've been using the splatter type of target and would be interested in your opinions." He also says, "Hey, I heard your wife may have to go into a nursing home." No, she's already in a nursing home. Dave, and we continue to work through and struggle with that. Okay, so let's address targets. Dave's talking about, or he's asking about targets. Good question. Haven't been asked this question. What I like to shoot at is I like to shoot at silhouettes, steel or paper. I like to shoot at silhouettes because I think it's a little more realistic. The other thing I want to say about targets, I've heard very few people ever mention this. I would strongly suggest you shoot at targets of different colors. So if you can purchase or set up targets of different colors, do that. Shoot at red targets, green targets, white targets, brown targets, black targets, orange targets. Shoot as many different colored type of targets as you can shoot. Why? Think about it. If you have to defend yourself with your gun, handgun, rifle, shotgun, doesn't matter. What do you think the odds are that the bad guys might be wearing clothing that is not the color of a brown shooting target? Right? They're going to be wearing different colored clothing, are they not? Your sights are going to look a little different. Your sight picture and your background and everything are going to look a little different against different colors. Against different colors. And one of the reasons why I like kind of the bright green front sights or green red dots, although I tell you the red dots on Trijicon RMRs are pretty nice. You know, they'll stand out. Most of them will stand out no matter what color because it's kind of hard to duplicate the color of the red dot or the laser or the front sight that is kind of a lime green. You know what I'm talking about? Or even an orange front sight. So it stands out, but they look a little bit different. Just try me on that. Just get a sight picture on different colored targets if you can. So that's kind of what I want to say to Dave about his email. And Dave says, may God give you wisdom and peace in making these tough decisions and he's talking about in my life. Thank you, Dave. I appreciate that. And I appreciate your prayers. And I appreciate you listening to my show and everything else like that. Now, Dave says he's been using the splatter type of target. Yeah, that's kind of cool because you get kind of a cool reaction when you hit it. Any kind of a reactive target I like too because, you know, you get that instant satisfaction when you hit where you want it to hit and you can see where you're hitting. So that's kind of cool as well. Dave, thanks for the email about targets. I don't think anybody's ever specifically asked me about targets. So thank you very much. Another email comes from Sid. Sid took the red dot class with me recently. And here's some good information. I'm going to wrap up this episode with this real good information from Sid. He said, Bob, I found myself indexing with the top of the RMR, the hood of the RMR, as I drive my Glock to the target. So he's using the top of the RMR to index. In other words, he's talking about close range. He's talking about, you know, 3, 5, or 7 yards. He says, try this. Use or make a 3-inch sticky target circle and put it at center of mass. Start at 5 yards. As you present and drive your gun to the target, at halfway between half hip and 3/4 hip, index the top of the RMR hood or screen. You can do this with any red dot. At the bottom edge of the 3-inch sticky circle. So basically he's saying, try to index, try to look for that top of the red dot at the bottom of the 3-inch sticky circle that you put on your target. As you're going to full extension, the dot appears at the bottom of the screen. And at near full extension, the dot is on or near the center of the target. And then he says, notice I have not mentioned front or rear sights. Interesting. He said, try this dry fire practice at home. Put the sticky target on a lampshade and or window drapes or whatever, and then try it at 5 and at 7 at 10 yards. I like what he says. Try this dry at home and put it on a lampshade or something like that. Hey, folks, let me ask you. You want to know something about me? You know, I dry fire practice as much as I can. And again, please make sure you have an unloaded gun. Double check and triple check. An unloaded gun. Don't even have ammo in the same room. You know how many lampshades in my house that I've shot? You know how many light bulbs I've shot? Oh my goodness. You know how many pictures on the wall that I've shot during my dry fire practice? Oh man, if only my family knew what has actually been shot in this house by me dry fire practicing in different parts of my house. And I practice what I preach. I shoot at pictures on the wall because they're all different colors. I shoot at plaques in my office. I like to do a lot of dry fire practice sitting in my home office where I'm recording this podcast right now. And I got a lot of cool things to shoot at. I can shoot at caps. You know, I can shoot at, you know, baseball style caps and I can shoot at different plaques on the wall and things like that. I've shot them all. Man, they've all taken hits from me dry fire practicing, I tell you. My whole office has been just shot up like crazy. So when Sid sent me this email, it made me think about what's been shot in your home. Tell me. Send me an email or a voicemail. When you're dry fire practicing with unloaded guns, I'd love to hear. What have you shot in your home? No, folks, I'm not advocating being unsafe with a handgun. Preferably, you do this when you are alone, when there's no one else in the house, or when you're in a very safe area, and you've double-checked and triple-checked that the gun is unloaded, and there's no ammo, even in the same room where you're dry-fire practicing. But are you like me? Have you shot stuff in your house? Okay. During dry fire practice. Anyway, Sid goes on to say, I'm probably going to try some live fire point shooting next using the top of the RMR hood as an index. Half and three quarter hip shooting, not looking for the red dot at all, 3 to 7 yard distances. Hey, Sid, let me know how that goes. Good email. Thank you. Let me know how that goes. That kind of a good tip. I'm going to try that too. Indexing all the way through the draw stroke using the top of the red dot. You could actually do this even if you don't have a red dot sighted pistol. You know, index your front sight. Just index your front sight all through the draw stroke. And, you know, if you're going to be point shooting or shooting without full extension, which there is a necessity for that. I know people will argue with me, but that's fine. People can argue with me all they want. I've talked to people in gunfights. I've looked at gunfights on video. I've talked to people, lots of people who have been in gunfights. Don't forget, Ben Branham's been in a lot of gunfights, and a lot of times they say you don't always get to have a perfect sight picture in a gunfight, especially we civilians that are going to be reactive. Even sometimes law enforcement is reactive instead of proactive when they have to shoot their gun. All right, so let me know how that goes out, or how that works out for you, Sid. I would like to know, and thanks very much for the email. Folks, if you want to send me a voicemail, the number is 210-646-1727, 210-646-1727. And if you want to send me an email, the best way to do it is bob@handgunworld.com, bob@handgunworld.com. Okay, folks, thanks for listening to episode 409. I'm Bob Main. I carry a gun because I can't carry a cop. And remember, evil doesn't exist in the holster. It exists in the hearts of men and women. Hey, and by the way, I got something else I want to close with that I think is pretty cool. Billy Graham once said, I'm not for the right wing and I'm not for the left wing. I'm for the whole bird. Shoot straight, shoot safe. I'll talk to you next week. Goodbye. And by the way, just in case you're wondering, yes, I do observe all four rules of gun safety, even when I'm dry firing. So I am being very safe when I dry fire in my home, observing the rules that I'm supposed to observe. I just didn't want to get anybody, didn't want to give anybody the wrong idea, thinking that I wasn't.